Have you ever had a sense of losing yourself while you were doing something that you loved? Like maybe you were gardening or playing the piano. Maybe you were walking on the beach or playing sports, downhill skiing or tennis. Maybe you were just looking into the eyes of your beloved. Whatever it was, you were so engaged in that moment that you lost all sense of yourself, and you even lost track of time. It was as if you had immersed yourself in a new reality. Well, these are often peak experiences in our lives. I think of them as times when I feel the closest to God. And we could also say that these are times when we're in the flow. We hear that a lot. Different meanings for that, but I ran across a definition recently in a wonderful book called Stealing Fire that says this: flow is an optimal state of consciousness where we feel our best and perform our best. It refers to those in-the-zone moments where focus gets so intense that everything else disappears. And it goes on to say how science has shown that being in the flow results in optimum health and also peak levels of fulfillment and happiness and peak performance. Well, this idea of flow goes back a long, long way. It's not part of modern pop psychology or anything like that. It can go all the way back to the 6th century before the Common Era, when Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher who founded Taoism, said this. He said, "The human spirit has its source in the divine fountain, which must flow freely through humankind." He said, "Anyone who has learned to flow as life flows has solved the enigma of human experience and needs no other power." In other words, if we've learned to flow with life, flow along with life, we don't need anything else. Well, this is what Jesus taught as well, although to my knowledge he never used the term flow, but it's really what all of his teachings and his ministry were pointed to, this higher state of consciousness where we lose a sense of ourself and we're one with God, where we're in that beautiful, we call the kingdom of God, the divine flow. This is what his ministry is about, the shift in consciousness that he was trying to help others move into. And so he said things like, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Well, the pure in heart are the unencumbered, not carrying around a lot of baggage. The pure in heart are open-hearted and therefore ready to be more of a channel through which the divine can flow. And the same is true for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, that neither toil nor spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Simple. In that beautiful flow. You know, Jesus was, I think, really trying to get us to tone down the anxiety. Right? He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body or what you're going to wear. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. And we know this. When we're in that state of higher consciousness, we're not really needing or wanting anything. Whatever we do need or want just seems to kind of appear at the right and perfect time. So Jesus was really saying, let go and let flow. Was he not? No, really, that's what he was saying. He knew quite well that we humans are particularly adept at making life a lot more complicated and difficult than it has to be. Right? And it's kind of what we do. We do it with our worries, with our false beliefs, with our limited thinking. So there's a story in the Bible, it's in the 21st chapter of John, that I think illustrates this point really well. And it's about the day that the disciples go fishing. They go fishing on the Sea of Tiberias, and they're using a net for their fishing. And so they go out on the sea, and they're out there all day and all night, and they come back with nothing. They come back with zero fish. So they arrive on the shore, and they're a little tired and discouraged, as we can well imagine. And there's Jesus. And he says, why don't you give this another try? Why don't you go back out there, and this time, cast your nets from the right side of the boat instead of from the left side of the boat? We can imagine that this might not have gone over too well initially with those disciples. They've been out there all night. They're pretty worn out, the whole fishing thing, you know. But they knew enough from having seen and witnessed Jesus to know that this was worth paying attention to. So out they go back out in the boat. And they do just what he said. They cast the net over the right side. And this time, there are so many fish. They catch so many fish in this net that they can't haul them all in. You see, at the beginning of the story, the disciples in consciousness were out of the flow. Right? I mean, we can imagine that they were just in their usual rote methodology. Okay, here's what we do. We go out in the boat. We throw the nets over the left side, and we wait. They just do this over and over again. I mean, it's not really working, but this is what they do. But they were not in the flow of the sea. They were not in the flow of life. They were not even in the flow of where the fish were. So when Jesus says, throw the net off the other side, it's basically saying, flip your perspective. And when they do that, by gosh, now they are in the flow. And there's more fish than they even know what to do with. Well, a lot of times we're like the disciples. When we get discouraged in life, when we don't get what we want, things don't seem to go our way, and we feel like giving up. We certainly don't feel in the flow. We may feel more like we're on very rocky seas. We may even feel a little seasick. It's like, this is not what I had in mind. But if that happens to us, it's not because something happened to the flow. It's because we threw something into the flow to disrupt it. You see, the flow just continues on. Our experience of what's going on when we have an upset is because we have had a thought or an attitude, frame of mind, that somehow disrupted the waters. It could be through our stubbornness. It could be through our need to be right. It could be through our wonderful story of what a victim we are. And how life is so unfair, and on. So we throw all these boulders down into the flow, and then we can't just move along easily with it. And a lot about moving easily is accepting what is. And so if we're having trouble and we're not feeling like we're in the flow of life, we don't need to go out there searching for another stream. We don't have to, you know, rekindle a flow somewhere. We just need to remove the obstacles that we've put into it. We need to get our consciousness right. Find our way back to what is natural and what is there. The Indian sage Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, said, as the removal of earth by a farmer digging a ditch opens up a channel for water to flow to his crops, so the removal of obstacles by the student opens up a channel for cosmic energy to flow into his being. You see, this flow wants to come into you. You just remove whatever is blocking it. So how do we do this? You know, a lot of times we're not even conscious of what we might be thinking or attitudes we might have or behavior patterns that are interrupting the natural flow of life. It doesn't matter, because there's something we can do that is actually quite simple, much simpler than you might imagine. And I learned this back in 2002, when I was becoming a prayer chaplain. I was at Unity Church of Portland in Oregon, and our minister at the time was Reverend Dick Everts, and I loved him. He was an awesome minister, and I particularly loved the way he prayed. It just seemed that in any situation, he would just open his mouth and, you know, just the right and perfect words would flow through him. They were so beautiful. They were so sacred and uplifting. I was like, wow, you know, how does he do that? So So I went to him and I said, I want to pray like you do. Will you teach me? And he smiled and nodded and he said, go to your heart. I said, okay, I know all about the heart. I know a prayer comes from the heart. I got that. Would you teach me to pray the way you do? You know, are there some special words? Are there some affirmations? Is there something I can learn? And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, go to your heart. Well, by this point, I was getting a little exasperated. It's obvious he's either, you know, not getting it, but certainly he's not going to change his answer. And so I decided to just sit with that. And finally, I got it. And all you prayer chaplains know this, that when you're praying, you go to your heart and you let go of your thinking. You put your mind aside, your busy thoughts, all these thoughts you have about, am I saying the right words? Oh, I hope this really hits the mark for them. You know, is this right? Does this sound sacred enough? Am I sounding really spiritual right now? You get into that and guess what? No, that's stopping up the channel. But it's the most miraculous thing. If you just go to your heart and open your heart, words come. Love comes. There is this beautiful sharing, and sometimes after you've prayed, you think, where in the heck did that come from? You know? You see, it's about opening that channel. And whether we're talking about prayer or whether we're talking about daily life, the message and the lesson is the same. To get back in the flow, go to your heart. Go to your heart. You know, when we think about the heart, we typically think, oh, it's a nice mushy part of me. You know, this, oh, it's my hearts and flowers and love. And, you know, I feel all these soft, nice feelings. But the heart is a powerhouse. The heart is a powerhouse within us. It actually emits a magnetic field that is 5,000 times stronger than the field emitted from the brain. Scientists even say that the heart has a brain of its own. We know our heart has a certain wisdom to it. And the fact is that our heart sends more information to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. So it is truly in charge in ways that we don't even recognize sometimes. And we say in unity, the mind is a terrible master, but a brilliant servant. The mind is here to be of service, in service to the heart leading us. And if you've ever made a decision and tried to get yourself to, you know, you're making a decision, you're thinking, my heart's telling me this, my head's telling me that, and you decided to go with what your head was telling you, but not what your heart was telling you, how'd that work out for you? And a lot of times, not so well. You're trying to force something here when your heart knows. The heart knows. And the heart is the means by which we get into this state of flow. And here's one way it does it that's very, very scientific, so just stay with me here, because I'm going to introduce another concept. Science has shown that when we're in this state of flow, the biological underpinning of that, what is happening in our bodies, is something called coherence. Coherence. When our body and our mind, and we would say our spirit, are all aligned. And in his great book called Coherence, Dr. Alan Watkins talks about it this way. He says, flow is achieved through coherence, and then he writes, in the flow, truly remarkable things are possible. Coherence, again, being aligned, you know how this feels. Coherence allows us to be at our brilliant best every single day. And then he goes on to say, this kind of blew me away, he says, most people access about 9% of their potential. And then he writes, as a medical doctor and neuroscientist, I believe we could all access the remaining 91% of our potential if we just understood how to optimize the brilliance of our entire system through learning to become much more coherent. Can you imagine if you could access 100% of your potential? But when you think about it, it makes sense, because if we're not in coherence, we're flying in a million different pieces, right? And you know how that feels. And our mind's racing, our body does nothing feels right. We haven't brought it all together. We're not centered. Well, this is the basic discipline or the basic set of beliefs underscoring heart math. And I've talked about heart math in here before. But heart math is essentially a practice that one uses to become more coherent, to increase your levels of coherence. And it's done through the heart. The heart is the means of raising your coherence and getting into the flow. And so in heart math, the practice consists of going into your heart. You imagine breathing through your heart. You really just, you know how it feels to connect with your heart space. And then you bring up an image or a memory or a thought of some person or situation or experience that means a lot to you that generates a feeling of care or appreciation, love, gratitude. And you just continue to breathe into that feeling. And at the same time, you know, you're breathing deeply, so you're feeling yourself connected. And what happens as you do this more and more is you begin to feel a shift inside. Now, I've been doing heart math for about 6 months now, and let me first say, I'm not saying it's for everybody, but what I do think is that these techniques you can use on your own, and they're very translatable, but for me, heart math has opened up access to states of consciousness that I never even knew were there. It has been absolutely incredible. And so I begin just as the practice says. I do it in the mornings, and I get centered, and I breathe deeply, and I focus on my heart space, and then I bring up an image, or I bring up a person, or an experience that it makes me feel just flooded with love. And sometimes I'll picture Richard up here playing music, or lying in his arms at night. Sometimes I'll bring back into mind how it felt to hold my granddaughter for the first time, and she was sleeping on my chest, and I just thought, this is everything. Or I think about the joy of my daughter on her wedding day. Ah, overflowing. Sometimes I picture the statue of Jesus that is outside of the church door here, and he's standing there, and he's got his robe open, and he's pointing to his heart. And quite often, I'll tell you, I picture you. And I pull up in my mind what I'm seeing right now. I picture each of your faces, how good it feels to connect with you, how lovely it is to hug you. And the one that really gets me and really almost always brings tears to my eyes is picturing us at the end of the peace song with the hands raised up in the air. It's just so lovely. So beautiful. And what I find is as I give myself over to that my heart fills up, and then I feel it in the top of my head, my crown chakra. It's like it opens, and I feel lifted, and I feel close to God, and it's as if we're high above the earth, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. You see, there is this state of flow and oneness and consciousness always available to us, whether we use heart math or not. The lesson is the same. If you are out of the flow, if you are feeling uncomfortable or anxiety, tension in your life, go to your heart. Go to your heart. Just remove yourself from that for a little while. Indulge yourself in love. You know, if you're having difficulty in a relationship, you can do this. You have this power. Go to your heart. Behold that other individual as the divine being that they are. If you're beating yourself up about something, you're not good enough, you're not this or that enough, go to your heart. Imagine all of the universe telling you how loved you are, how precious you are. There's so many easy ways to do this. And I think back on my son when he was just a little tiny fella and he began ready to go to school. And I didn't really think about this till years later. But before he went off to school, he would sit down on the couch and the cat would jump up in his lap. And he would just sit there and pet the cat for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then he'd go off to school. See, he was connecting with his heart. Sounds like such a simple thing, and it is a simple thing, but it makes such a huge difference. When we're coming from that space and that energy is coming out of us, it affects other people, and it helps them go to their heart as well. And the great Eric Butterworth says, he has some wonderful advice on this. He simply, I love when he's direct, he says, stop resisting and start loving. He says, take time every morning to get into the flow of love, and then actively project this light and love to all your coworkers and friends. As you salute the divinity in each one, and know that no matter how the individual may be frustrating it, that person is rooted in a flow of divine love. And suddenly you will know why you are here. You are the light of the world, this particular corner of the world. This is your work. And this is God flowing, blessing, and expressing as you. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. Just take a deep breath in. Release and let it go. Let go of any busy thoughts, any concerns at all, and just be. Breathe and be. Another deep breath in. And release into the knowing that all is well. Feel yourself relaxing from the top of your head down through every part of you to the tips of your toes. Here you are. All of your beautiful shining essence, the light of love. And I invite you to become aware of your heart space. Just turn your attention to your heart. And imagine for a moment that you are breathing in and out of your heart. Chest area. And breathe a little slower and deeper than usual. And in the state of connection with your heart and your breathing, I invite you to activate through your mind's eye a person, an experience, a situation that generates in you a great feeling of gratitude, care, and appreciation. Maybe something that has happened in your past, maybe someone who loves you so dearly. Allow yourself to feel what you feel when you connect with that image. Give yourself over to it. Relax into it and let it feed you in the silence. and take a moment to simply appreciate the power, the wisdom of our hearts. And still immersed in this feeling of love, we just take a moment to radiate that love to ourselves, to turn it to the insides of us, appreciate the blessing that we are, the beautiful light of God expressing through us. And then we turn and we radiate that same love out to others. May they too be blessed. May they know how precious and loved they are. And for this beautiful activity of love in our heart and God in us, we're so grateful. Thank you, sweet Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And so it is.